me.
The show today is canceled due to human-caused global warming. Or is it cooling now? Or is it both warming and cooling? Whatever the government says, I believe them. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Well, that was Mr. Rogers talking about the helpers. And that is true. It's true about us as a people.
Yep.
We always rush to each other's aid. And I love that about who we are. I will always celebrate that and not blame it on gobbledygook like climate change, but actually just rush into help when help is needed and do our part and look at our neighbor as our friend and say our friend's in trouble and go help. And that's really where the focus should be. The focus that the papers are telling you is that it's all dialed down to climate change, and don't believe it. It's gobbledygook. It's just, it's so dumb. I'm so tired of hearing it. But I love Mr. Rogers on that take, because there's always the helpers and people will always go out of their way to help each other. And that's what's great about the society that we live in. The media can call us racist. I mean, they can pin us with every single thing known to man. But guess what? I know how we treat each other. I see it daily.
Yes, but there is that one segment of society that wants big government to handle everything, and they don't rush to anybody's help because they want you to go to the government for help.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, very true. Well, welcome back. I just wanted to mention that Bilderberg is in session, and it's kind of like I was mentioning this to Uncle Milty before. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo. It's what's the deep state up to? Well, they're in Switzerland today, and today's their big meeting of the year, and they're talking about climate change. They're also they're talking about quite a few things actually. The press release talking about what's going on. It's going on from the 30th. To the 2nd of June. So they're arriving. They're starting to arrive today, but it's from the 30th until the 2nd of June. And this is what's on their order of business: a stable strategic order so that they can run things, you know, globally. Your country, our country, doesn't matter. What's next for Europe? Brexit's kind of bothering them. So that's going to be on the docket today at the Bilderberg. Also, climate change and sustainability, because it's a great seller. It's a great seller to get people hooked into more taxation. China, Russia, of course, the future of capitalism, Brexit, the ethics of artificial intelligence, in which there aren't a whole lot of ethics. It's missing them. And the weaponization of social media, because how can they weaponize it to basically, I don't know, censor so that people aren't talking about the Bilderberg meeting. And then also, and things like it, the importance of space and cyber threats, how they can control cyber threats.
Amazing. They're responsible for 11 out of 11.
I don't think the notes of this meeting have changed much in the last 40 years. I'm pretty sure that if you went back to the notes from 19, I don't know, pick a year, 75, they're going to be quite similar. This was the same things are on the docket. These are the areas of control. This is how they do it. Do you remember when the whole story on Assad came out? I don't know if you guys remember this. The whole story on Assad came out during Obama's term. We were friends with Assad, and then all of a sudden he was made to be this, I don't know, he went nuts, and now he was murdering his people left and right, and nobody could figure it out because here he is, a decent guy to his people. That his people actually really like him, the majority of them do, and him and his wife. And so we couldn't figure out. He had just become a madman. Oh, my gosh, overnight. night. And nobody could really explain this. Well, it turns out that we ended up talking about on the show. We had reporters on the ground, and we said that he wasn't gassing his own people. And there were a lot of people that were arguing because the media did such a great job in convincing everybody that he was. They showed a couple of kids of pictures of kids being gassed, and lo and behold, our nation was ready to go and send over whoever we could get to go over to murder him. Well, so this just came out over the weekend, and it was the leaked chemical weapons watchdog report suggests that Assad is not responsible for even the gas attack of 2018 and others. And so Tucker Carlson actually reported that there was an internal document that was leaked from the Organization of the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW, contained info from an investigator who argued that the gas attack in Syria was not an aerial attack, but chemical weapons were manually placed on the ground. It's always interesting how, you know, sometimes the truth will sort of leak out, and yet why isn't that front page news? They spent so long making that front page news, and I remember getting some flack for disagreeing with it, and the people on the ground that we interviewed were disagreeing with it, and they were saying, no, this is not coming from that. It was actually coming from the white helmets. So I just wanted everybody to be aware that when this stuff comes out, it doesn't get any play, and I want to make sure it gets some airtime. Deserves it.
Yep.
Oh, so frustrating. Yesterday was Memorial Day. I think every family has been touched by military. I don't know anybody that doesn't have military in their family somewhere, some way, somehow.
There's not too many
that have not been touched by Memorial Day or a loss of life. My family is not immune to that, and I don't think yours is either.
No.
And so there was an article saying if you really want to discuss how to honor the troops, stop sending the troops over and putting them in harm's way. And I can't agree more. Make sure they're going over for the right reason, that we're really defending something and defending in a defense mode our country. And I loved it because I thought that article is actually on fee.org. You can check it out, but it rings true, does it not? Let's really honor them. If we're going to honor them, let's really honor them by saying, let's be very careful about what we rush to judgment on and how enveloped into the headlines we actually get when it comes to why we're serving up a military attack and why we're in certain places right now. We should be questioning that more. So there's that. There's lots of things, actually. What do you think about the Bilderberg? I'm just curious. Any thoughts on that, Milty?
It surprises me who's on it.
Ah.
You know, as you go down this, like Petraeus.
Uh-huh.
What's Petraeus doing?
Yeah, there? Right. It's true, though. Yeah.
I mean, he's a military man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of these people doing?
Yeah. But, you know, frankly, there's just too much mystery and hidden stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're losing power anyway.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So.
It was interesting. I was on another show today as a guest, and I was talking about some of these things with John B. Wells, who used to host Coast to Coast, and now he does Caravan to Midnight. And that show's going to be tomorrow on Caravan to Midnight. George Papadopoulos is on the show, too. And we were talking about this. We were talking about how it's been hijacked in the past by communists, by so many people in high up positions like Brennan over the CIA who are complete and total communists now. Comey has a background with communism. All this stuff is surfacing and coming out. And people are starting to realize how many people in these kinds of positions, especially as we're coming on, the 100th birthday of communism as we know it, or as we call it. It's been around for a lot longer. But communism, as we understand in this country, it's coming up on its birthday. And it's very, I think the conversation John B. Wells and I were having was, look at all these individuals. When are we going to be finally convinced that individuals that are absolutely trying to annihilate America are in the highest positions in our land? What more proof do we need when these agencies run under somebody that has every idea that's anti-American under their belt? when are we finally going to call it out? And this Bilderberg meeting is very anti-American. So the fact that we have a lot of Americans in it, going to it, is, and I'm not talking about Americanism per se, probably the way it's being perceived right now. What I'm talking about is, do you want to annihilate the sovereignty of our country? Is that why you're at Bilderberg? Because of all the issues I just mentioned, they all speak to globalism. Those all speak to rapidly kind of destroying the boundaries therein to make our populace subject to the world government. And that's really what they're about, is how to get more global. How can we do it? That's why I said those topics have been at hand for a long time, because they have been. They've been trying to do this for a very long time. And I do think it takes longer than we think. Because people thought, I remember when the election happened, people thought our last days are upon us. Not necessarily. No, there's more time than that. There's a lot of time, actually, that we have. But we don't realize the level to where we've been corrupted by these people, because we just don't think it would happen in the United States. It's been hijacked in so many ways. And the Bilderberg is one symptom of it, just one symptom of it being hijacked to a global order. And the fact that we are not more upset about them meeting, and that even if you talk about it, now you're a, what, tinfoil hatter? Because you talked about Bilderberg? Yeah. It's a real thing. It happens. And this is the agenda. But you're not allowed to say that, because if you say that, that means that you think that they're actually creating a demise. They are. That's exactly what they do. It's how to get us more global and under global control. It's why they discuss all the things they're discussing. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know. It's frustrating to me. Is it frustrating to you? Are you just burned out, that medical?
I wish, I wish I really knew more. Like Jared Kushner's at Bilderberg.
Mm-hmm. That should worry people.
Is he there for bad reasons or for good reasons?
And I'm not quite sure a lot of good reasons would exist, unless you're just
there
to spy.
Well, unless you're just there to spy. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's the deal, though. Jared worries me. He really does. And it worries me that he's close to the president, and it worries me about who he is friends with and who he deals with and who he represents. That worries me a lot, actually. So there's that. When we come back, couple more things on the docket. Phone lines are open, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. You can call in live. By the way, I wanted to see if you were going to take advantage of the new medical, what do you want to call it? Not disadvantage, medical assignment of burnout now being a medical disorder.
Call it BO disease.
BO disease. Stay home. You have BO disease. Burnout. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
You've transformed your outdoor space into a... Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too.
So, thanks for tuning in today. 888-673-1450. I have Uncle Milty by my side, and it's always a fun show with Uncle Milty here. And talking about some of the headlines today, making sense of them, trying to put them in context, and actually just making sense of what's going on. There was a couple of things in this arena. Last week, we talked a lot about the word trimester and so forth, and there were a lot of people out there that didn't know that the word trimester was conjured up by the Supreme Court. It was not a medical term, to basically make life seem that it was valued a lot less in those first couple of terms, so they could get away with it a little bit more into the psychology. There was a sign Chris Ann Hall had posted on Facebook, a sign that said these women were sitting there with a sign that said that a baby was a parasite. And that's where that thinking came from, is the trimester effect. So the trimester effect, when the Supreme Court, Harry Blackmun, came out with that, it was a big deal because it changed the way we viewed a life. and did not give it its due. And so if you wonder why we've landed here in 2019, this year has been kind of interesting, hasn't it, as far as the abortion taking front and center headlines with the states.
There and some very interesting things to start making people more aware that these are human beings, not just clumps of cells.
Right.
And one of the things that happened is last year the court ruled that there was a law in Indiana, I think, that the law required that unborn children who die via miscarriage or abortion be cremated or buried, which gives them a human status.
It does.
So, of course, that decision last year, the U.S. Court of Appeals upheld the ruling of a lower court that enforcement of that was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
That, no, you can go ahead and just dispose of them just like the bandages and stuff from the hospital, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, that's been reversed again.
An incinerator.
And that's really exciting because it, again, gives human being status to these babies.
Yep. And the court upheld the Seventh Circuit's invalidation of Indiana's race sex abnormality selection abortion ban, a ban that the Seventh Circuit's prominent East Judge Frank Easterbrook, previously described as a eugenics statute. Remember how I talked about eugenics and black men did what he did with the word trimester because of eugenics? He was a huge fan of eugenics, which is population control. It is kind of amazing because the Supreme Court, Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas took pains to outline the movement of the history of the 20th century eugenics movement in America in his answer. Very interesting because we've been talking about this, but there wasn't a lot of light on it for a long time as a eugenics abortion as a eugenics movement.
Does this mean that if you're pregnant with a baby girl and you want a baby boy, you can't kill the baby girl anymore?
Yes.
Isn't that neat?
Can you even imagine that we're at this place? I know. Eugenics. Wow. It was a Rockefeller-sponsored movement that started way back. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you. I don't know if anybody or you may have seen the speech by Dinesh D'Souza that talks about how the media and everybody, if we were to find bacteria on Mars, would go crazy about there being life out there.
Yes.
And all the secularists would say, oh, see, Earth is not the only unique place in the universe that has life, so that's a disproving of God. And yet we have a object that actually is a beating heart and everything else that constitutes life, but oh, no, that's not life.
Yeah, it's truly amazing when you think of NASA's checklist of the six components that make up what a shred of life is considered, and all six of those are in the womb.
Right. And, but see, then they want to sit there and go, reason states, and reason is this, and well, you're throwing reason out the window when it comes to this argument about life.
It's very, very true.
Because it doesn't fit your narrative. It doesn't fit what you need to do.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. So there was a discussion on abortion litigation, right? And so they call him the originalist. Isn't it interesting how people that abide by the very constitution that we're supposed to live by are called originalists? But anyway, I digress. So they've changed the narrative now. I just want you guys to know it's called abortion care. Abortion care. Is that like murder care? I guess it's like murder care. You're murdering somebody, but you care. So I guess that makes it okay. Anyway, if you'll notice that language keeps popping up, abortion care. Ugh, makes me sick. Anyway, Clarence Thomas said this when he outlined the history of the 20th century eugenics movement in America. The use of abortion to achieve eugenic goals is not merely hypothetical. The foundations for legalizing abortion in America were laid during the early 20th century birth control movement. That movement developed alongside the American eugenics movement. This is Clarence Thomas talking. And significantly, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger recognized the eugenic potential of her cause. She emphasized and embraced the notion that birth control opens the way to the eugenist. So whereas Singer believed that birth control could prevent unfit people from reproducing, abortion can prevent them from being born in the first place. And many eugenicists therefore supported legalizing abortion and abortion advocates. That's why they were really on board and helping to orchestrate what Blackmun said as far as the unwanted wanted baby and then also the trimester effect. That was all part of this movement. And they actually changed their name to Socialized Biology, by the way, from eugenics to biology. But they said, so here's Clarence Thomas. He said, including the future of Planned Parenthood president, Alan Guttmacher, who endorsed the use of abortion for eugenic reasons. The Guttmacher in a society is the one that's used for all their numbers. All their information, all their false information is given by, all the pro-choice movement goes to those numbers that's provided by that society. He was the vice president, Alan Guttmacher, of the Eugenics Society, by the way. So Clarence Thomas goes on to say this, abortion advocates were sometimes candid about abortion's eugenic possibilities. In 1959, Guttmacher explicitly endorsed eugenic reasons for abortion. Judge Easterbrook was correct. Whatever else might be said about the case Casey, it did not decide whether the Constitution requires states to allow eugenic abortions. Enshrining a constitutional right to an abortion based solely on the sex, race, or disability of an unborn child, as Planned Parenthood advocates, would constitutionalize the views of a 20th century eugenics movement. And I'm glad that he at least talked about this, that he alluded to this, that he enforced this again, because that wasn't talked about. It wasn't. For a long period of time, we as Americans did not refer to it as the eugenics movement. And I'm glad at least this. Now, the states can do what the states want to do. And so now we have what's going to be happening Friday. By Friday, Planned Parenthood is absolutely freaking out, as they may lose control. By Friday, Missouri may be the first state with no abortion clinics.
Awesome.
Now, if you remember, Missouri was the lead out in trying to challenge Roe versus Wade. I think it was 1989, wasn't it? And so that state's done a lot to try and combat this.
Mm-hmm.
But they might be the first one with no abortion clinics. And what does Planned Parenthood say? Legal abortion care will be inaccessible to people in an entire state. We won't be able to murder anyone in that entire state when it comes to abortion. This was their big statement that they put out there by Leanna Wen, who is the Planned Parenthood's president. Can you imagine spending your life as the Planned Parenthood president? That's what you did upon this earth. I it's hard for me to imagine a life like that, but she exists. And so she's calling it a public health crisis that women can't get the abortions. They keep alluding to the fact that it's healthcare, when only such a small fraction of a percentage has anything to do with the life of the mother in health in any way. In any way, the majority of this, 90-something percent of these abortions are done, 95% of these abortions are done because they want to be. Because they disclose the reason that they just don't want it.
Well, I think one of the secrets, and it's starting to happen more and more, is to teach the history of the abortion movement.
Yeah.
And the more people learn about that true history, about what it was really about,
Yeah, you start to realize the manipulation under
right.
the hood. That was my whole point in bringing up the trimester effect, because most people thought that came from the medical community. It did
not.
It did not. That was completely manipulated and thrown in as the big caveat under the eugenics movement to diminish life. Missouri governor signs a bill banning abortion after 8 weeks of pregnancy. I just want everybody to know by then, the digestive system, the circulatory system, the heart already has two chambers. It's beating blood through the unborn. Everything has already been created. It's growing 10,000 times. It's halfway through growing 10,000 times its normal size. Most of the work is in that first trimester.
Mm-hmm.
And even the 8 week cutoff is just far too long.
Yes, it is.
So we just can't have it. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, another thing they never show you is the statistics of the income level and the race of the women who are getting abortions.
Yeah, yep. mostly in areas. Most abortion clinics are actually there. A lot of them are located in the low-income communities, and mostly blacks are getting them, which is kind of an interesting an interesting thing.
Yeah, because that would show that it's a purposeful eradication of the poor in the
Margaret Sanger's dream come true.
Yeah,
Margaret Sanger's dream come true. That's exactly what she wanted.
Yep.
Ouch.
Minorities and poor people.
Yep. Thank you for that. Did you know that it doesn't decrease poverty? And let me tell you, look around. How many people do we have that we consider impoverished in this nation? More than ever. Abortion has never controlled that. And even Planned Parenthood would tell you this is why abortion is so necessary, is because women are more educated. They're not. The percentage is so slim that you can't even hardly count it. And then also the fact that we'll deplete poverty. That actually is not true on any level, on any stretch of the imagination. We have declared more people impoverished in this nation than ever before. 50 million people right now are considered poor. We have a lot of abortions. That over 60 million abortions. It has only increased that level of poverty, and it has nothing to do with it. Actually, it has nothing to do with it.
It really doesn't. And the abortion rate in America right now is, for black women, is almost four times that of white women.
Oh.
Because they're told that this is going to keep you out of poverty. And it doesn't.
So sad. Hi, caller. You've got about 30 seconds. I apologize. Go right ahead.
Okay, 2 cents worth. First of all, it's not their body. Number two, they shouldn't call it reproductive. They should call it deproductive, because they're not really interfering with their reproductive abilities.
Yeah. In fact, it actually kind of harms it. In fact, the rates go up for having another baby, having it be premature, underweight, or a cesarean. Which is kind of interesting when you're toying with that, when you're messing with that system and going in and having an abortion. Thank you. Appreciate the call. It's a lie. It's a lie to say it's even for the mother's health, because the mother going on to have children then does have an increased risk of complications that she's looking at, too, after an abortion. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show. Glad to have you on board. 888-673-1450. That's the call-in number. 888-673-1450. You can call in from anywhere. That was Songbird, Fleetwood Mac, and Uncle Milty's here with me. This is near and dear to our hearts, because we're both vehemently anti-abortion, and you can't meet two stronger people in this area. This is that tough subject. And like they say, for talk radio, it's a room clearer. It is. And it's unfortunate that it is, because this dialogue's been needed for so long. Why do you think now? Why do you think, you know, New York went to its extreme? Now they call it an extreme to even go up against what New York's doing the other way, like Missouri, when that should have been done all along. Why do you think now, timing-wise?
I think, you know, for the first time since Roe v. Wade, there's really a legitimate discussion going on about abortion. And the states are pushing for states' rights. And this is the perfect area to help do that.
Yeah.
To enter back into saying, hey, we have states' rights on this.
We have control over
it. And then it
state.
Can move to other things from there. But what a great issue to do it on.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that I think these people that believe abortion is okay are a much smaller majority than we're led to believe. I mean, they're not a majority at all.
Yeah.
And so, but they've had this platform for so long and kept it legal for so long. I also think that with everything else that's going on, I really do believe that God is intervening right mm-hmm. now in everything that's going on, because humanity is coming to an end if we don't change things.
Yeah. You know, we started, when you really look under the hood on this, let me go a different direction. When you start to look under the hood, you realize how much traffickers have depended on Planned Parenthood, have depended mm-hmm. on abortion to cover up the tracks of pedophilic, of abuse, of trafficking, and how much trafficking is actually going on around the world. And since the Trump administration, if you could give them credit for this, I would say that Trump's been outspoken about this, but we've actually seen a lot more on the subject. For mm-hmm. years and years, it was sort of underground. Even when people, I remember Tom Brokaw did a report in the late 80s, and that was immediately grounded. You know, nobody ever saw that past that one broadcast with Tom Brokaw announcing mm-hmm. we had a huge problem going on in the Midwest, and we had huge trafficking rings going on within Congress and within the Senate. And there was just a lot of hush-hush about it. And so we're in a day and time now where we're starting to realize how much they have benefited from this and how much abortion was based on eugenics. And so all the arguments for abortion are actually so falsified. They're so falsified that you can't even wrap your brain around how falsified it's been. Narrow, the exact figures that were used in Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court decision, they came out later and said, oh, yeah, we falsified everything. But why correct it, we thought? Why correct it? Why did we need to correct it? We didn't really need to.
We got what we wanted.
And so and you know what they blamed it on? The hype that was going on at the time. Well, we were all hyped up. We didn't want to have to tell the truth. The founder actually came out or president of NARAL and talked about that. So we have a lot of people being outed for fraud. We have a lot of people that are starting to understand that the numbers were skewed and the stories that we were told aren't true. So on the timing, is it a God thing? It very well could be. And I look back at all the times that we conservatives owned the government, right? We had all the branches, and how many times we have not passed anything on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that. These were diehards that went into office because you thought they felt the same way as you did about social issues like abortion. Not one thing was done. So there had to have been a benefit all along to and a reason why we were funding Planned Parenthood, and a reason why all this was going on at the time through this last 45 years, almost 50 years. It's absolutely shocking, isn't it, when you really look back and think that we've allowed this long, over 60 million deaths, 60 million, more than all the wars combined.
Well, another reason, and it's a little more recent, but another thing that really struck me and just supported my position that I feel it's intervention from God is the producers of Unplanned.
Yes.
Their prayers and their hesitation to when to release the movie based on the answer to their prayers.
Yeah. And they said 6 years ago when they acquired the rights, it wasn't the right time, and none of them could figure out why. And it just so happened they made the movie. And it was destined for its release right after New York made their move.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Perfect timing, because it brought about a lot of even the most staunch advocates of the pro-choice, pro-murder movement. It turned them around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even that movie, I know they rated it R. They, for some oddball reason, of course, they didn't want people to see it. They actually banned it in Canada, but people are seeing it anyway. And I think that even in the light of that, you're going to see a lot of orchestrating going on to kind of bring people to a place where they're able to look at this again and stop ignoring it and stop chalking it up to a choice. A couple of the arguments on the pro-choice, pro-murder side are abortion reduces welfare costs to society. That isn't true. Did you know what? Now we're 50 years later, almost, we're paying out more than 12 times what we were even 40 years ago. The rate never went down. But that was what they were telling people at the time, that this is what was going to happen. And it didn't. Abortion reduces crime. It absolutely has nothing to do with the crime rate. The crime rate is the crime rate, and abortion really had nothing to do with it, although it does devalue life. So there's that. They even talk about the fact that that abortion for mothers, it's the health or life of the mother. that isn't actually such a small percentage of the time that's actually even true, that it's actually so minuscule that they'll use that and rape as the two caveats for having abortion. Mm-hmm. And they'll say for the health of the mother. Did you know that 70% of the women that are actually raped and do get pregnant choose not to have the abortion? Yeah, they choose not to have the abortion. They either give it up or they keep it. And in Missouri, in light of what's, is it Alabama, what's going on in Alabama with their newer, stricter laws on this, they actually had more adoptions than ever. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. So we're seeing that some of these lies that were told, they don't ever pan out in the numbers that they say. And I just wanted to bring light to that. I think it's very interesting.
And those exceptions, the only reason mm-hmm. they even talk about those exceptions is mm-hmm. to have exceptions.
Yes.
Which keeps that door open.
Yeah.
If you can ever totally get rid of those two or three exceptions they mm-hmm. always want, rape and incest. Mm-hmm. And
which is under 2%. I mean, yeah. it's of the total abortion rate.
Without those exceptions, a lot of them are even admitting that they don't think abortion is good at yeah. all, except for those exceptions.
Exactly. But here is what I'm seeing with conservatives that scares me. And this is why that whole trimester effect really did its job psychologically, is now they're saying, well, up to a certain point. No, actually, from the moment conception happens, you can't justify it. So even the conservatives have sort of, well, no, there is no well, there is no caveat for that. Here's the other thing. One of them that we were sold at the time and sold throughout was that women who are denied abortions are more likely to become poor and uneducated. Okay, let me tell you this. In 1964, 7% of the births that we had in America, this is 64, were outside of marriage, okay? And today that number has climbed to 40%. Wow. Marriage reduces the probability of child poverty.
Yeah.
Marriage does by 80%. And children raised by married parents are more likely to avoid risks than hinder the ability to thrive. In fact, men, felt like, well, go get an abortion. Let's just alleviate the consequence and I won't, have to commit and I won't have to do these things. But here it is. In 1960 through 71, during legal abortion, education from women jumped from 37% to 49% that went to college, okay? And there was a span there of what? 1960 to 1971. That was before Roe versus Wade. It went from 37% of women to 49% of women went to college. After Roe versus Wade, 76 to 86, it only went up 1%, from 50 to 51%. Clear up until 1998, it only jumped 9% more. 25 years after making it legal. And they said that women, if they could just go get their abortions, they would become more educated. That's actually not true. That is actually, it's a lie. Yet we fall for it because we don't go back and do the statistics. We don't go back and look at the numbers.
Logic alone tells you
mm-hmm.
if a woman's pregnant and she has the baby,
mm-hmm.
she has more incentive to become educated and successful.
Yeah.
She has to provide for the baby.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So just the opposite has to be true.
But man, were they grasping for reasons. They also said it helps a woman's health, and they keep calling it health care and abortion care, which is the sickest thing. I don't even know. I mean, give me a break. Do we call it violent care? I mean, no, we don't in this society. We call it violence. Same thing with this. How can you put those two words together? But 30 to 35% struggle with sexual problems after an abortion. 30% have issues trying to conceive again. In 2007, the journal, and I'm going to journals of reproductive medicine, studied women, not just some numbers pulled out. I'm talking about their own journals of medicine, said that when they had an abortion after having a baby, an abortion increases bleeding in the first trimester and a result in more cesarean birth, also having a higher rate of being born prematurely and a lower birth rate, even though Planned Parenthood says this isn't true. The Journal of Reproductive Medicine said, yes, that is true. The British study in 2011, Royal College of Psychiatrics, determined that 81% of women had aborted fetuses had mental health issues. 81% of women doing this had mental health issues ranging from alcoholism, drugs, and suicidal thoughts stemming from having done that. Not having had those thoughts before. 37% that had abortions compared to those that didn't were diagnosed with depression. And you're telling me that the health crisis is the women having the abortions, not allowing them to have it and saving some woman's health because that percentage is so low. So just so we could kind of can correct the narrative out there, there are some facts for you. When you really start looking at every single one of their arguments, they all fall flat. They all fall into the almost lies or not almost, but just lies. That's how diabolical that has become over 40 years. And these women that say it's a parasite, these women that talk in those terms, that was courtesy of Roe versus Wade. The decision and also the statements that came out, the trimester quantification, that making sure that everybody saw it was a trimester instead of a nine-month gestation. So we have to re-educate these young women. We've got to go back and re-educate the young men, too. We really do. We have a lot of work to do in this arena.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad that this year the conversation has been brought back.
Big. Not huge. Just brought back, but big.
Yeah. A huge, huge battle is going on right now, if you haven't noticed, in America over this. And, you know, we are how we treat the least of these. That's who we are as a nation, and we have to remember that. It always strikes me, those words of Reagan always strike me when I'm thinking about this subject, is those that are the most contentious about this were given the opportunity to be born. Isn't that striking? Well, here we are having a debate. We all got this opportunity. Otherwise, our voices wouldn't be heard right now. Mm-hmm. One of the best podcasts I ever had was with the survivor of an abortion at, I think it was 8 months, 7.5 months, and she lived to tell about it. And even when she met her, when she was in her 30s, when she met her biological mother was so full of hatred for her. And she thought, that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to move on with my life. It's okay if that's how you feel. But I'm glad I'm here. So I look at these pivotal moments for us as people in humanity and say, how are we going to treat the least of these and what are we going to do for them? And what a great conversation opportunity we've been given to correct the wrongs and to correct the lies. And if there's any time to have that opportunity to do it, it would be on social media right now. It would be in any capacity that you can think of that would actually hit your circle. I mean, let's start correcting the information.
Yes.
Way overdue. I didn't think we were going to launch into all that today, but there you go.
Well, there's always something that brings it out.
I know. Isn't that top of the headlines today on that? What happened with Supreme Court and also what's going on with Missouri and Alabama. So appreciate all you guys. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you here tomorrow for our Wednesday show. And everybody have a great one tonight.